The last blocks all went out to all the different regional areas. There's still a couple left in the U.S. and Asia. They had spots, but essentially, yeah, there's no. You can't go back to the refrigerator and get more. We're all out.
So people have to reuse the ones they have, recycle them, or go to IP version 6 at this point.
Yeah, the recycling's a bit. It's very complicated and it's very difficult to do, and you have to find those addresses that you've given out. You know, and some of them have been out for quite some time. So, you know, V6 is obviously the excellent way to go here.
Now, you have developed a new testing plan for router devices. Why is that important, and tell us about the new plan?
Well, the new plan that we're working on is actually to help with home gateways that people have, the devices that you buy and put next to your cable modem or your actual cable modem or DSL modem. What we found was deploying V6 is a little bit harder than we thought, and one of the areas that needs a little bit of work is what we call the last mile, the customer edge. A lot of those pieces of equipment that you go into Best Buy or you go to Walmart and buy don't support V6 natively. So we're creating a test plan and a test program around the idea of those guys being able to come in and test so that when you buy a piece of equipment, it will work, you know, in your house or when you know, your operator, the person you're buying your internet service from, provides you with something that it'll work.
Okay, what about the enterprise use of IP version 6 and enterprise level equipment? What's going on there?
Yeah, we've seen some growth there, and what we're running into there is more, you know, for a while we've been doing operating systems and routers, but what we're seeing now is more of those edge peripheral devices such as data storage for cloud computing. We've seen printers in here for home office networks, a variety of different peripheral applications coming in to make sure that they work in a V6 environment.
And are you finding general interoperability with IP version 6?
Yeah, we find that actually things that we've known about and been testing for a while, the big areas that we're still working on are definitely transitions going when you have an old piece of equipment that only supports V4 and how it transitions to V6. Or in this case, you know, right now it's more if you have a V6-only network, how it works with devices that exist in the world today in V4. And a lot of that stuff we're just discovering as we go along.
Now, a lot of devices sold, especially for network switching gear in the last few years, have both. Do people that have such equipment need to do anything?
A lot of people work very hard to make sure that you don't notice which one you're using. So, I mean, in a perfect world, you wouldn't know if you're using V6 or V4. Devices that support both, you know, a lot of equipment today will support both with a firmware upgrade. Sometimes it's just as easy as that.
Now, in February, you had an interoperability test event. Tell us what happened there.
We had a test event for those home gateways that I mentioned earlier, and it was very successful in the sense that we did find issues with devices. We're going to write a white paper to make everyone aware of these are the problems that we encountered, and these are the obstacles that we need to help as an industry get over so that V6 can be in the house, so that we're not having to try to prop up IPv4 and all the problems that come with create a longer life for IPv4.
And I imagine people interested in telework or having their workforces work from home, that would be an important issue for people doing enterprise work from their house.
Definitely. It's definitely, you know, V6 is one of the things that touts is end-to-end connectivity. And all the problems that you run into with V4 extending it are, you know, multiple NATs, and it causes a lot of problems as you being able to connect to some device you're trying to connect to at your home or at your, you know, from work, going from home to work, right? All those issues hopefully go away with V6 because it should be end-to-end.
And what about the new mobile devices that people are buying, the smartphones and the tablets?
Yeah.
How are they doing with respect to IP version 6?
Right. Well, that's the interesting one. A lot of those devices, I think as time will go on, will start to be V6 only. I think they'll be the first set of devices you see without any V4. And I think the reason for that is because those networks are brand new. They don't have the legacy problems that other networks might have where they have to support V4. Though the actual new networks will be V6. So I think they'll be the first people dealing with transition mechanisms and those types of problems. And that's why it's important that, you know, all these devices be able to communicate each other. Your phone can talk to your devices at home, which can talk to your devices at work. And you have to have V6 everywhere for this to be successful.
We're speaking with Timothy Winters, Senior IP Manager at the University of New Hampshire's Interoperability Lab. Now, you have had a roundtable called Making a Successful Transition to IP at the enterprise level. At this point in time, with IP version 4 having run out, what do CIOs need to be doing?
But, you know, there's a couple of important things. One of them is definitely asking, you know, that the equipment that they're buying is V6 capable, and there's really two programs out there that help them achieve that. One for the U.S. government is the USG V6 test program, and that's a very good way for buyers to document what they want, and then it's a very good thing for suppliers to know these are the these are the bars that I need to hit to sell, right? These are the things that I need to make sure are in my product, and I think it's a good pointer for both of those buyers and suppliers. And the other one is the IPv6 Ready program, which is a more commercial program and more worldwide. And both of those give CIOs the feeling that the equipment they're buying will be able to turn on V6. I mean, I don't think they need to panic and turn on V6 tomorrow, but they definitely need to start planning and have roadmaps for these types of things. The government has done the 2012 mandate for external facing services, so that's, email, DNS, web services, be able to support V6. And I think all of that helps, it's helping the CIOs start to lay out plans to get IPv6 on their externally facing services.
Now, IP version 4 addresses are all out there. Most of them will be deployed, and some of that is going to be around for many years. So it seems like we're going to have to live with both protocols for the foreseeable future. Yes or no?
Yes, for sure. We're going to have deal with both. I think at some point there'll be a tipping point where people will be more interested in how V6 works and then worrying about keeping V4 up. Today, the real concern is making sure that nothing breaks on a V6 network that works on a V4 network. The two will exist. They're going to coexist for some time, and I think it'll just be a natural progression. The nice thing is with this is there is no switch. There's no moment where we have to switch over. It can be transitioned in a proper and organized fashion.
And besides just making the sheer conversion, what should managers be doing to make sure they get the advantages that are offered by IP version 6 that were not available under IP version 4?
A lot of that, the important things are definitely training. Make sure that you're retraining people to understand the advantages of IPv6, the end-to-end connectivity, the support for multicast, the security implications. All of those things need to be, you need to think about them, and you need to train the people who are deploying your network in those spaces. What you don't want to do is take V4 people and have them try to apply the same concepts that worked in IPv4 to IPv6. That's not going to be successful. It's a retraining thing. I think it's an important step forward. I think a lot of different technologies go through this. I just don't think we've ever had to go through it with IP.